that you're about to talk to me.
Amen?
Amen. And amen. Well, this is not a setup. This is the Holy Spirit that prepared this afternoon what he wanted me to expound upon. So we're going to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And when we know that we have ears, they're sometimes clogged and they don't go as deep as we should. But in Romans 8, we'll start at 28. And we know that in all things, God works. Notice it's not you that does the work. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice it's not your purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. Verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That was the Lord's plan from the very beginning. He wanted fellowship. He had fellowship with Adam and with Eve, but they rejected. They made a decision not to go with the flow. They went on their own. So I'd like to press in about foreknowledge and foreordained plans. Yeah. Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That's the first recorded promise concerning the future of mankind. I will put. So the Lord is in charge here. And he said, the end result will, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Acts 2:16. The prophetic word. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, based upon the foreknowledge of God. So God knew all along what he was planning. Just Adam and Eve wanted it done yesterday, and I don't think too much has changed. Amen? Amen. You've already heard Romans 8:29, but 1 Corinthians 2:7. The wisdom of God is revealed, and he says in verse 7, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. It's confirmed in Ephesians 1:5. It stresses before time began. Wisdom was hidden for a season, like 4,000 years. We think of it as, oh my God, waiting 4,000 years. For God, it's not a problem. For man, it's a challenge. 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. See, if you don't add before the beginning of time, it's pretty cool information. But before the creation of time, before the earth and its cycles were set into motion, you had an existence with the Father. You say, well, now, wait a minute. I never heard that before. Well, maybe you didn't study the Word. Maybe it's time for you to get a different opinion about who you are. Titus 1, verse 2. Titus 1, verse 2. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Say, ouch.
Ouch.
So you think you're old. I think sometimes people have opinions about me getting old. I totally agree. I look in the mirror and I say, wait a minute here. What happened? My great-granddaughter visited me the other day, along with her little sister who's 7. She's 13 and a half. And my little great-grandson, who's just turned 6. So Gabriella and I are in my office, and we're having a deep discussion about time and about age and about things that change. So there was a press in my heart for me to awaken her. We talked about the Lord. We talked about what happens in time. We talked about, you know, all the things that transform our thinking. Of course, at 13 and a half, she's got a lot more wisdom than her grandfather or her great-grandfather, because she's got it all put together. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I went upstairs and I came back down with our wedding album. And then another album of our 25th anniversary. And we discussed time. Of course, she's never seen her great-grandmother being size 6. So obviously, she was staring at those pictures and some of her aunts, and there's very few people in the picture that are still alive, because obviously we're up there. Of course, she must have examined me 15, 20 times to see if there was any inkling of what I used to look like without wrinkles. Because that's what she told me a few weeks back. I showed her a picture of my wife and I when we were on a honeymoon. And she looked at me, she said, now who's that? And I said, well, that's me. She said, well, I've never seen you without wrinkles. Now she's had quite a few pictures of me without wrinkles and hair. So we teased, but my impact was, look what 25 years did, because then we looked at the 25-year album and we had a major celebration. And of course, we were her parents' age, or close to it, a little older. But the bottom line is, I was trying to show her what happens. What is it that happens to us We are a byproduct of time. But before the beginning of time, the knowledge of what we would become was already set into motion. And you can cancel it. You can rebel against it. You can stop it from coming to pass. It's up to you. First Peter 1, 2. First Peter 1, verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. It's not you cleaning your own act up. Thank God. Oh my God, I hit a brick wall. Close your eyes right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, I can't clean my own act up. Not according to this word. I need to trust the Holy Spirit. He's sanctifying me. So I can rest. And he can do his work. If I let him.
If I stop him, it will not work.
Again, I repeat, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and to the sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace to you, to be yours in abundance. Now, you say, well, how does that work? Well, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit working in you, you need to ask him. If he hasn't completed his work yet, you need to be patient.
Amen.
You know why? He's working on an eternal calendar. You're working on a 12-month calendar.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking before.
He's got all kinds of time to get you to where you need to be.
Even though I didn't know that in the Bible, it's still new.
Yeah, it's news.
Yeah.
Okay. Revelation 13:8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast.
Amen.
Anybody know who the beast is?
The one that God can put down.
Every time you open your eyes and you look in the mirror, you'll see the beast.
I know. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Now, why is it that we have the beast nature?
He's in this world.
I'm not asking you to respond. Just want to be listening. The beast nature was a choice that Adam and Eve made. So their mistake is still inherent in us. Until we come to the Lord and we cry out for his blood to keep cleansing us from all of what was invested in us from the fall, which happened 6,000 years ago. Now, we're in a place where God is beginning to reestablish his church so that we can become brothers and sisters in Christ, which was the very first word that I gave you. Okay? Mm-hmm. He is the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. So his goal is to make you and I like the firstborn son that came out of the grave. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming. And I was talking to Ron last night because the Lord had given me a word for him. So as in our discussion, we ended up going into different places about what life is happening up there and the challenges with infectious disease that's been hounding around, and of course their rules are no more pleasant than us. If anything, it's worse. So we discussed a few things, and we ended up talking about how God began to, you know, awaken me to what my future was, and awakening him to what some of the things that I had actually listened to yesterday. And I was looking for a confirmation if he knew about what I had studied. And he said, well, he went a little deeper, of course, because he had a lot of that information in his heart from way back. So we discussed a few things. But then I said, well, you know, we talked about when Patrick and Susan came, and a little bit about the things that God is trying to press us in to go forward with the plan of the Lord. And again, about what's written about the church and about us. So I said, well, there's one thing that happened to me back in probably 1979 or 80. And at that time, I was very much involved in the Catholic Church. And my brother Ray calls me and says, by the way, Kim, are you doing anything tomorrow night? And I said, no. Why? Well, he says, there's somebody I think you want to go to see. He's going to be in Ware, Massachusetts. So I said, well, I'm all ears. Who is this person? Well, he says he's David Duplessis. Now, anybody who's familiar with Vatican II, which happened in 1960, he was the only non-Catholic that attended Vatican II, where all of the world leaders of the Catholic Church met in Rome. And he was from South Africa. He had been excommunicated from, I think, three different denominations. So the Pope invited him as the only non-Catholic to attend with all these cardinals. And he wrote several books. And one of them was Mr. Pentecost. Because he spoke to the leaders of the Catholic Church about the need for the Holy Ghost. And his message that night was that the Holy Ghost is economical. So obviously I went to the service and I was very excited. And of course, Carol was there. And so was Loretta. Okay. And a few others. I think we were five of us.
Huh? Teresa and Walter?
No.
No.
No, that's before Teresa and Walter.
Before Teresa.
So, long story short, he had written a new book. And he said after his message, would you want to go downstairs for a little bit of goodies? And it was a beautiful church in Ware, which is, by the way, for you guys who don't know where Ware is, it's about 15 minutes from my house. So here's a man from South Africa who's written several books about the gift of Pentecost to the denominations. And he's in my backyard, or front yard. So I'm really excited about the new book, and I'm standing in line, and I paid for my book. And I come up to him, and he's a little tiny guy, probably about your size, D. Okay? Very small man. Short in stature. And when I come up to him, he takes my book and puts it on the table. I'm thinking he's going to sign it, but he doesn't sign it. He reaches in his pocket and he takes out an envelope and he pushes me to the side and he says, go read this. And so like I'm stunned, you know. He said, you're Catholic, right? And I said, yeah. Like I thought I had the name tag. Right? This was new to me. I had seen word of knowledge, but a total man from, anyway, that was like, wow. So I'm shaking, and I go to see Loretta, and Ray and Carol, and I say, you guys got to look at this. It's a letter from the Pope, and an invitation for him to go and visit the Pope with a perpetual meeting. I don't remember whether it's once a year or whatever the numbers were, and I am literally like this. I did, why did you give this to me? You know, why did you know, and I'm shaking. I said, and you guys are witnesses, you know, this is real. It's not a dream. And to make a long story short, I'm repeating this to Ron, and it's like I'm reliving it. Okay? So Ron went into some details, and I brought back the letter, and then of course he did sign my book. But I went home different than when I walked in. You hear me? There are encounters prepared by God for each and every one of you. And they're prepared by God, not by you. Foreordained before time began. If you would have said to me, maybe a year or so before I met this gentleman, and said, you're going to meet him and he's going to have a word for you, I would have had a major, major mental problem. Ron and I prayed. We went into other details. But he had a very similar encounter up in Ottawa. His pastor, how many of you have ever heard of 100 Bentley Street? It's like the 700 Club of Canada. Okay, and I've been there. His pastor, brother, actually started that ministry in Canada, which runs all across the Canadian north. So he shared with me that he also had an encounter, which he didn't expect, by a person who had been a cardinal in the Roman Church. But when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he ended up exposing some of the false doctrines and things that were upside down, but got a lot of persecution. So we compared notes. I had a highlight for him. It was not quite a highlight. It was a revelation that he didn't expect. But it confirmed things that he needed to hear. So, of course, the dream from... We didn't talk about the dream that came about him, and it needs to be confirmed. So what am I saying? I looked at this picture of what I experienced then, and it's been many years, and it's never yet been confirmed. And Ron said, And I said, no, and of course then he reminded me of something that God gave him for me here at one of the feasts. So we had another little party. What am I saying all this for? Because there's an ultimate plan in God's book of you.
Yeah.
There's a destination and a recreation that's in progress to make you like his firstborn son. Yes, you will have to fight the darkness. That's part of it. Okay? Learning how to do that is based in the promises of God. Without the promises of God, you're going to have a struggle. But with the promises of God, and as you read, underline your Bible, make notes, make it your Bible so that you will be able to have some ammunition in your gun. You can't shoot BBs at a ghost. Doesn't work. Okay? You can't shoot bullets at the negative round. But you can use the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
And push the enemy back where he belongs and keep him on the run. Because if you listen to him and don't respond, he's going to continue having fun with you. And instead of having your book filled in, and the Lord writing completed, 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 he's going to write non-active, No cooperation? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Why? Because you had free will.
Yeah.
See, you have an ability to say yes, but you also have the ability to say, I'm not ready. Well, I would say, get ready.
He was, he was at our lunch yesterday.
Literally. The Holy Spirit was at our lunch yesterday. And he's
everything you're saying, we talked about.
There you
everything.
Go.
Everything. And then some.
Lift your heads, please. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
That book.
That book
is not going to be an irritation.
It's not going to be an irritation.
Because I'm going to cooperate. I'm going to say yes, Lord.
Even if it hurts.
Even if I don't understand.
Even if I don't understand.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
In me.
In me.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
In this earth.
In this earth.
Come on, push it in. In this earth. It starts with me.
It starts with me.
It's not the globe.
It's not the globe.
It's this earth.
It's this earth.
It needs to be sanctified.
It needs to be sanctified.
Purified.
Purified.
Made holy.
Made holy.
By the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost.
He is on the job.
He is on the job.
Sanctifying me.
Sanctifying me.
I will end up.
I will end up.
Looking like Jesus.
Looking like Jesus.
The works I do.
The works I do.
Will glorify my Father.
Will glorify my Father.
And not bring glory to me.
And not bring glory to me.
Because I'm His.
Because I'm His.
And I am.
Available
for him to habitate me.
For him to habitate me.
To live in me.
To live in me.
By choice.
By choice.
He won't come unless I say come.
He won't come unless I say come.
So give me the grace.
So give me the grace.
And the hunger.
And the hunger.
For my Father.
For my Father.
To live in me.
To live in me.
His life.
His life.
His ways.
His ways.
To manifest.
To manifest.
The miracles.
The miracles.
The signs.
The signs.
And the wonders.
And the wonders.
And the healings.
And the healings.
And the deliverance.
And the deliverance.
That starts with me.
That starts with me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got the message.